Tomas, we are back, my friend. You know what that means? Time for a little bit more Tasty Live with this market measure sponsored by the CBOE.
So we got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on today. I got to fix my flat.
You got a man coming over to fix your flat for you? If you wear that blouse there, you'll be fine.
As soon as the wife's done with her doctor's appointment, she's going to change my flat tire. She's always bragging about how she knows how to, like, you know, fix a car and whatever.
You're going to say, okay, prove it.
Let me see. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. My dad, Tommy Stewart, do you not have Uber or anything like that? Like, I mean,
I have Uber.
Do you think to use it or anything?
Uber? Sure.
Yeah,
sure. But I got to fix my flat. I got things I got to do. Anyway, what else am I going to say? Oh, yeah, lots of stuff coming up. So before we jump into the market measure, which is a really good one today, you guys are going
to... My son can fix it. He said if you can wait till noon, he has to do his job first. Till 11?
No.
He doesn't need lunch again because he didn't get any lunch yesterday. There were too many people in the office. He can just go right to you, go without lunch, fix your tire, and then come back and be able to do the afternoon.
Hey. I've seen that kid lately. He can skip a lunch or two.
Oh, wow. He looks good.
No, he does. He does.
I know. I'm just kidding.
A couple things coming up. So we will.
Ooh, I can have Gina come over and she could tell you what you did wrong to get a flat. She can't fix it.
No. I have my own daughter for that. I don't need your daughter to tell me what I did wrong. I got my own daughter. And as you know, my daughter won't hold back either.
No, she will not. No, she will not.
So a couple things. First, just like that John posted a second ago, Sunday night, we have our show, Full House this weekend, 4:55 on Sunday night. Love to see you for first call when the markets, you know, open up on Sunday night. Should be continue to be pretty busy, especially with the crazy moves we've had this week. Second thing is if you go to tastylive.com/events, we are only 3 weeks away from our next show in Seattle, Washington. We have not been to Seattle in at least 7 years, I want to say. And the last time we were there, I think it was for a money show. Here's my crazy memory of my last time we were in Seattle. The money show was fine and everything else like that. But I got up really early in the morning and I was kind of like, because I was just wide awake, time change, whatever. And I went around walking around the neighborhood where our hotel was. I don't remember which neighborhood exactly. And there was some famous bakery that had these kind of Polish, I want to say they were like Polish donuts, cream pies, along with some meat pies and stuff like that. So I stumbled into this bakery. It was amazing. But then I was like, I don't want to just eat bakery. I want to go grab some breakfast. So this guy there goes, go across the street. There's a great breakfast place. So I go across the street, great breakfast place. Waiter comes over. One of our longtime customers who calls into the show. Mm-hmm. So he sat down with me. We had breakfast together and we chatted about trading. And at like 6 a.m. at a diner in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. That was my last trip. Yeah, I think it was like 7 years ago. And so we're really looking forward to going back to Seattle. It is May 18th, the whole gang. It's Mike, Katie, and Nick, along with Jamal, Pete, and myself. And we have a really interesting show. It's long. It's content from, it's bell to bell.
Content heavy is what you're saying. It's not a feel good.
No, it's an amazing show. We just did it in New York. It's locked and loaded with content. It's not a fun, it's a reference show.
It's enjoyable, but you're not there to entertain.
Yeah, there's six different speakers. There's tons of really good information. If you're building a portfolio or thinking of different strategies or anything, we cover everything in this. It's packed in, just as far as the content goes, it's packed. Then we play a little game at the end to have some fun, try to give away some money, stuff like that. But if you can make it out to Seattle, or if you're anywhere in kind of the great Northwest, we'd love you to stop by Seattle. And then right after Seattle, a couple of weeks later, we head over to London just 3 weeks later, and we're doing the same show at the O2 in London. And we would love everybody to come out to that show. We have a couple of giveaways in London, including some concert tickets and things like that. We expect a full house in London, so it should be great. We had a packed house last year. We'd like everybody to come back out. People flew in from everywhere in Europe, so it was awesome. And after that, we were in Chicago. It's the same show in all the places. Hopefully you can make it. And when you're on tastylive.com/events, don't forget to sign up for Geeks. Geeks on Parade is coming out in this summer. It's digital version. If you sign up in advance, you get the digital copy, and it is going to be the first time we've done Geeks since the pandemic. We had to cancel in 2020.
Yes.
So we haven't done it since 2019 was the last year we did. The 2020 Geeks got canceled, and now we're picking it up again. So, and this is all digital. It's all free. You just have to sign up before June. The show is on June 29th. You have to sign up by June 27th.
Very nice.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Interpreting earnings implied volatility. This is a piece our research team put together because we get lots of questions about earnings. They haven't worked that well this cycle, that's for sure. Let's take a look. Interpreting earnings implied volatility. So for investors in publicly traded companies, quarterly earnings announcements provide a sudden influx of information. This is often immediately followed by a larger than typical price move. Option traders know to expect this, and the premiums are typically higher for options expiring after the announcement. So these higher premiums equate to higher implied volatility. And as volatility-focused option sellers, how should we view this pre-earnings implied volatility different from typical implied volatility? Tony?
Oof.
Woof?
Woof, I do not know the answer.
NVIDIA's killing me today. Can you help me here?
I know. It's like squirrel.
Stocks up 40. I know. Ugh. And I did so good rolling yesterday in there when the stock was 795. What'd I say? The next slide, John. So we did a study. We examined the past 5 years of earnings announcements in 22 major underlyings from a variety of sectors. Like we have, I'm not going to read them all up, but if we go from Apple to Exxon in here, okay? JP Morgan, Microsoft, it's all the big names.
Sure.
Netflix, we looked at implied volatility just before earnings. And just before earnings announcements, the day before for the buy to open announcements, we considered the realized magnitude of the price move as a multiple of implied volatility. And we did the 1 day derived expected move. We contrasted these with the 1 day moves for non-earning dates over the same time frame.
Yeah, that second bullet point, they're just saying they took the implied volatility at the end of the day for those that come out at the end of the day, and they looked at it before the market opens for those that come out before the market opens. That's all they're
talking about. Yeah, closing implied volatility day of, for I guess it's at the close announcements, and the day before for before the opening announcements.
That's correct.
I just wasn't used to those. We don't use a lot of the ATC BTO,
right.
But it's at the close and before the open. Let's go to the first slide. Okay. So first, this is the frequency within 1 times the expected move. So the theoretical for this is going to be the same for all the different sectors, right? We looked at technology, finance, medical, consumer, industrial, but for all underlyings, the theoretical, because it's just theoretical, is 68%. All right. So then we looked at the earnings and non-earnings. And this, I think this will tell you everything you need to know. So for earnings, because we always talk about earnings being engagement trade, right? And a 50-50 shot kind of thing.
Yep.
So for earnings, we found that the actual win rate was, or the frequency, I'm sorry, not win rate, but the frequency within the one standard deviation move. So you could still have a win rate higher than 45%,
mm-hmm.
because this doesn't include the premium that you collect, right? We're only talking about theoretically landing inside the move. Are you following me?
I'm following you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the theoretical chance of landing inside of that one standard deviation distribution curve is 68% of the time. Forget about option premium for a second and just think about where the earnings land. When it's an earnings move, it's 45% of the time. When it's a non-earnings, it's 89% of the time. Remember that person that wrote it earlier and said, I have a small account and should I stick to 45 days or should I do more occurrences?
Yes.
If I include 0 days in earnings? And the answer we said was no, stick to the 45 days. Here's your reason. So in the technology sector on earnings, the number dropped down to 31%. It was the worst. It was the most difficult of all of them, almost impossible, to kind of gauge with the theoretical at 68 and the actual at 31. It's like I said yesterday, I hate these technology earning plays. They just don't work.
Yes.
But the non-earnings is 88%. And then finance was a little better, 51% to 89%, medical 42 to 91. I mean, none of these are great. Consumer, obviously the best because it's closest, and same with industrials. But when
it's
you look
closest, but it's still far relative to its own. I mean, like you're saying it's closest, yeah, but it's garbage for earnings. It's really what it's showing.
Jacob did a piece the other day. Jacob Perlman's one of our researchers. He's also one of our geeks on the Geeks on Parade. And so you can come listen to him because he's brilliant. But Jacob did a piece the other day talking about the advantages of 45 days compared to longer duration compared to shorter duration. But now we are showing you in lay terms the actual numbers. And it's crazy interesting how around earnings, how the chances of staying inside the zone are how much more scrambling you have to do. With non-earnings, how little scrambling you have to do. You know the difference here is crazy.
Yeah.
This is the one standard deviation. Now let's take a look let's go to the two standard deviation. So when the theoretical is 95%, does that help? And the answer is sure, because it gets a little bit better. Now remember, you're not collecting nearly as much money. But you go to finance, these numbers tighten up a lot, mm-hmm. except in technology.
Understood.
Okay. And if you go to three times, which is, now remember, three times is not, we don't sell premium. Go to the next slide, John. Three times. John, go to the next. Oh, there you go. So we don't sell these options, just to be fair, because I don't want anybody to email me say, you guys, why don't you just do these? Because we don't trade the two delta options, the one and two delta options. Okay. We just don't ever sell those. But I thought for purposes of just giving you the visual, you can see here that when you go to a three standard deviation, or you're basically selling a one delta, two delta option, you can get it to the point where it's, you know, where it's across the board pretty good, except for technology. That's the worst odds in the world.
Yes, yes.
I think this is one of the more powerful market measures that we've done ever to show the difference between earnings trades and, you know, which are one day binary trades, and the 45 day expiration trades. And I think it becomes so apparent here why it truly is like a talking point, an engagement trade, but not something that you want to
longevity.
You're not mortgaging the house, or you're not betting. That's not your trading future at all. Could you go back to slide to the first one of these, John, with the one standard deviation move? I think that in the future, when you think about this and just think about like a kind of the classic one standard deviation move, the 16 delta strangle. And and you look at the earnings trades here at 45% of the time, they stay within that range. You know that this is as crapshooty as you get.
Right.
But non-earnings at 89% is as mechanical as you can get. Let's go to the takeaways. The last slide.
Good way to put it.
Earnings can be a wild time for underlying prices. Even adjusted for IV, large moves were significantly more than on a typical day. When it comes to earnings, the expected move is less expected than usual. This was especially true for major technology equities, which saw drastically more outlier moves around earnings. If you do try and take advantage of higher earnings premiums, keep position sizing small, you get less IV overstatement edge than you do on the average 45 DTE trade.
Which you would have been told in years past the exact opposite. Like earnings, you're going to get that huge volatility contraction.
Yeah, but not on our show. We have not said the opposite.
No, not on ours.
We've been preaching this for a long time, but this information in seeing in the numbers, first time we present it this way, I really like it.
Very good, sir. 855-238-2789 or 855-BE-TASTY. That's the phone number to give us a call. I got Scott Sheridan coming on from Tasty Trade World Headquarters. He's gonna answer all your questions if Tom lets him. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Scott Sheridan next. Light up the phone lines. You call, I'll stop talking. We'll be back in 90 seconds with Tasty Live.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.